I'm going to talk a bit now about spiritual death in different practices. The third section of the talk, how we can bring this way of practicing into the various meditation practices that we have in the order and the movement. So firstly, the mindfulness of breathing. So I think in the mindfulness of breathing, we can be aware of the three lakshanas in relation to the breath. And I think the breath is an absolutely brilliant object of mindfulness in this respect, in that it's always present as a felt sensation. So it's inherently grounding and real. So it's a very good thing to work with. And we can explore the impermanence, the insubstantiality of the breath. So I think there's a tremendous amount of scope for investigating the breath in this way, which are the anapana. The APS does very well. Anapanasati, whatever it is. We can also ask ourselves, who is breathing? That's a good one. Who is breathing? As a way of beginning to break down the separation from breath as experience and self. There's a very good bit from Suzuki in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, where he says, if you think, I breathe, the I is extra. There is no you to say I. What we call I is just a swinging door, which moves when we inhale and when we exhale. It just moves, that is all. So that's lovely, that bit. And we can also explore any element of control within the act of breathing and practice letting go very fully into the breath. And I find a good way to explore this edge is to use the phrase, let the breath breathe itself. I find it very, very helpful. Okay. The Metta Bhavana and the Brahmaviharas. So I think in the Metta Bhavana we've got an enormous amount of scope to explore and see through the false separation between self and other. If we ask, who am I? We can also ask, who are you? Of the other people in the practice. And we can see that both self and other are fixed, are empty of a fixed and unchanging self. And in that sense, we're not ultimately separate and isolated. And the whole quality of metta, when we start to develop metta, includes this opening or releasing of the heart, which can help us loosen up our sense of self and become a lot more emotionally pliant and fluid. So I think the Metta Bhavana is a particularly good context to reflect on spiritual death if we do have a tendency towards a nihilism or a sort of cold attitude to death. I would suggest you use the Metta Bhavana as a way of exploring spiritual death. One can reflect on interconnectedness, loving others as much as self, as a way of seeing through attachment to a fixed, unchanging isolation of self. We can exchange self and other, reflecting, you are dear to yourself as I am dear to myself, and so on. We can think, what might it be like to be you, to really try and enter another person's shoes in the metta path and the practice. So I think there's lots and lots of ways where one can investigate the self-other conundrum in the Metta Bhavana or the Brahmaviharas practices. Then the six element practice. So obviously this is an excellent practice for training oneself to loosen the mind in its identification with the elements and the senses. And as I've said already, it's the main practice that Bhante recommends for overcoming pride and the wrong view that one has a fixed and permanent self. So before I had a big operation last year on my spine, I systematically embarked on a training. I thought, I'm a bit like training for a marathon or something, or climbing a mountain. I thought, I'm going to do a mind training as a sort of experiment. And I did review it later, so it was interesting. So I decided I'm going to do the six element practice as training for this operation and how I manage afterwards. So I did the six element practice most days for several months beforehand, where I concentrated particularly on letting go of identifying strongly with the elements as being exclusively mine. So I reflected a lot on how all the elements of, all the experiences of resistance, both internally and externally, are the earth element. Experiences of movement and fluidity are the water element. With the air element, I would sometimes sit and I'd listen to the wind in the trees, and I think that's no different from the air in the forest of my body. So I've got the wind in my body. I did that a lot. That was really beautiful, actually. And then the consciousness element, I simply tried to loosen my identification with whatever my mind was getting up to and reduce my identification with the internal and external sense organs. And an image I find really fantastic for doing this sort of thing is, you know, in our country estates, chateaux, they have these massive tapestries that cover a whole wall. I don't know if everyone's familiar with that, but they depict an image, a tapestry. But if you, so it looks like it's solid from a distance, the image of people out hunting, or whatever it might be. But when you get closer, you realise that it's made up of millions of interwoven coloured threads. And between each thread, there's a tiny space between each thread. So in my meditation, it's like I try to rest in that space, like the space between the threads of the tapestry. So in my case, it's the threads of the resting in the space between the threads of the thoughts that make up the story or the tapestry of my life. So when I do that, there's often this really tangible sense of like teasing apart the dense web of me-ness and coming to rest in a much more fluid experience of mind. So I find that a really evocative image. So the reason why I was doing all this before my operation was I wanted to try to develop some habits, some positive habits of opening out towards my experience in a receptive, non-clinging way rather than habitually tightening against it. Because I knew it was going to be difficult after the operation. You know, I'd have all sorts of physical things to deal with that I wouldn't necessarily have the wherewithal to be able to practice, but if I had some habits in place, maybe that would be useful. So I wanted, in a way, that was the experiment. Could you set up a momentum of habit that would stand you in good stead when you weren't able to practice in a dynamic way or an active way? And on the whole, I would say it did help. So that was good. I reviewed it and I thought, yeah, that has helped actually. So I'm pleased to be able to say that. And that I was generally quite positive and mentally fluid. There was a sense of pliancy in my mental and emotional experience after the surgery on the whole. And what was striking was, for a period of about two days, I completely lost it. So I completely went down the pan. And it was like I went from being in this quite open space into this tiny little cramped prison cell mentally. Which was really fascinating. The contrast was remarkable. And nothing had changed really except my mental states, which for me really proved the first verse of the Dhammapada, that the world is the creation of the mind. Because nothing had changed except I'd lost it, basically. And the way I got out of that was through recognising what had happened, being humbled by that. I felt very sort of ashamed of myself, actually. It was interesting. And apologising, because I'd had a real moan to somebody. So the next morning I got the nurses to bring this payphone to the bed and I phoned this person up and apologised. That was really good, actually. And gradually it passed. So what was interesting is the contrast actually was what showed me how useful a sixth element practice had been. Because relatively speaking, I had been in a spacious and open state of mind quite a lot of the time. So I do think it's a really fantastic practice to do from this point of view. And then a visualisation sadhana. I mean, maybe I won't say much about that because Karina Meyer is going to be talking about that somewhere she is. In a couple of days. But obviously in visualization sadhana, the practices we get at ordination from the Tibetan tradition, there is a strong shunyata aspect to those practices where we have both the form and the emptiness, the form coming out of the blue sky, merging back into the blue sky. So there's tremendous scope there to reflect on spiritual death. But I won't say anything more about that now. And I think one can apply these principles of Vipassana Bhavana or cultivation of insight to any practice that we might be engaged with at any time. The Mula Yogas, walking meditation, Kayana Mitra Yoga, whatever we're doing.